Yankee cavalry ride into battle on a dusty red plain. Hallmark Entertainment presents. The Colt. Plumes of smoke and dust billow up as cannons are fired. A Yankee rider fires a pistol. A Confederate soldier falls as he flees his cannon. A Yankee rider and horse tumble. A young bearded Yankee takes aim. A Confederate fighter knocks a Yankee from his mount. Cannon fires. A horse rears, throwing its rider. Hutton, a gaunt, blonde Yankee officer, leads a charge. After the battle,
bring those men over to the hospital.
Get them over to the sawbones.
It's no use to shoot it.
Hutton looks down at one of his men crouched over a fallen horse. A bearded man in a stovepipe hat wanders across the battlefield. Jim Rabb, a handsome young cavalry private, stands by solemnly as a comrade lays a handkerchief over the face of a fallen Yankee.
Dearest mother and father, I must now inform you of the most solemn news a parent can receive, or a brother relate. Your son, Tyler Rabb, departed this life on the afternoon of May 6, 1864. He fell to an enemy sniper during the battle in a great forest known hereabouts as the Wilderness. I was a witness to his death. He died gallantly and did not suffer. I believe his soul flew swiftly to the heavenly realm, where he is now with our dear sister Emma and with our aunt Augusta.
Good friends. Relations.
Covington, the man in the stovepipe hat and civilian suit, watches from afar with Longacre, the bearded Yankee sergeant. Covington sits nearby, takes a pencil and paper from his bag, and sketches the scene. Night around a campfire.
From Yorktown on to Richmond Wall, Michigan, my Michigan. They bravely fight, they bravely fall. Michigan, my Michigan.
Longacre cleans his revolver.
You're about the lieutenant in the third? Got his mustache shot off today.
Can't shoot off a man's mustache without taking his lip along with it.
You can tell the lieutenant, Cleary. Because he's still got his lip. And he's clean-shaven besides.
How about putting an end to all this noise so a man get to sleep?
It ain't till you go to sleep that the noise starts, Switters. I never heard a human creature snore like that in my life.
The battle-dirty soldiers swap smirks as Switters settles back down to sleep in the open air. The soldiers' smiles wilt as Jim trudges past. Longacre stands.
Rab.
Jim stares into space forlornly as Longacre lays a hand on his shoulder.
Sorry about your brother, boy.
By the light of flickering lanterns, Longacre watches Jim trudge off towards a horse which stands untethered at the edge of the camp. Jim stands before the horse, bows forward, and rests his head tenderly on the horse's muzzle. Explosions burst around the horses. The soldiers dash from the camp to grab the reins of the frightened steeds.
Dad!
Day, Jim wanders through woods, glancing around.
Damn it. Where'd you run off to?
He slows to a cautious walk as he sees his mare in a clearing with a newborn foal at its feet. He edges closer and crouches beside the horses. Jim lays his rifle aside and watches his horse lick its foal clean. Gingerly, wearing his leather cavalry gauntlets, Jim reaches out and strokes the foal.
Hey, Jim. Is that why you've been acting up? Huh?
His horse nudges Jim and its foal. Jim helps the newborn to stand.
Come on. Get up. Come on.
The foal rises, wobbling.
That's it. What can I do with you, huh?
Jim strokes the chestnut foal as it moves under its mother and suckles. Jim smiles as his dark brown mare nudges him. A platoon of bedraggled Confederate soldiers carry one of their wounded through the forest on a stretcher.
Yeah, set him down.
Sergeant Woodruff, a burly bearded man, sets the front of the stretcher down and kneels by the wounded young soldier gravely.
We're going to give you a bit of a rest now. All right?
He pulls back a blanket covering the lad's dark, bloodied leg.
Ferris, take Sergeant Woodruff's place for a while.
Oh, I'm all right, sir. Some Billy Yank hit me a lick with his musket. I hardly noticed it at the time.
Well, if you keep toting that litter, you won't be able to use that arm at all.
Woodruff joins middle-aged Captain Thorndale as they walk away from the others.
Any change?
Those burns on his legs are pretty deep.
I thought we'd have hit the plank road by now. You got any ideas about where we might be?
I expect we ought to just keep heading south, sir. That way at least we'll be on the way to Richmond.
I'm not planning to run to Richmond or any place else, Sergeant. Our orders were to secure the river fort.
Those orders were given before we lost 2/3 of our company, sir. We don't even know who won the battle.
All the more reason to do what is expected of us.
Woodruff wipes his brow and puts his cap back on his balding head.
We'll head south, but we'll keep an eye open for the river crossing.
Woodruff nods.
Better get them in marching.
Let's move along now, boys!
Stanton greets Jim as he leads his mare and its foal back to the Yankee camp.
Morning, Jim.
Morning.
He eyes the foal.
Where the hell did that come from? It's a handsome colt. Got some reach to him in the leg.
Why did you tell me your mare wasn't a foal?
Oh, I didn't know it. I mean, she's been a little heavy, but she wasn't bagged up at all. I mean, it's no wonder she's been so worrisome, though. Good shaped head, too.
That was sort of a bay collar.
God damn it. It doesn't matter. It's all the same. You're going to have to shoot it.
I know.
We've got orders to go out on a patrol. Can't have no colt along.
I said I know, Sergeant. God damn it.
Longacres with Hutton.
What's going on down there, Sergeant?
A colt, sir.
What?
A colt, sir.
A colt. I don't understand how you could have allowed such a thing, Sergeant Longacre. We'll be shamed and disgraced in front of all the Potomac Army.
It's being taken care of, sir.
Good. And make sure you picket the mares away from the stallions next time.
Longacre draws on the stub of a cigar as Hutton storms off. The colt bucks as Jim aims his rifle at its head. Jim lowers his rifle. The colt scampers to its mother. Covington stands by, watching. Jim raises his rifle again and looks for a clear shot as the foal canters around its mother.
I have to.
The colt walks clear and stops right in front of Jim. Jim closes one eye, staring down the barrel of his rifle. The colt lurches away. Covington watches with bated breath as Jim lowers his gun again and trudges towards the colt, who stops a few yards away, nosing a fallen tree trunk. The colt looks up at Jim as Jim stands before it once again and takes aim. Covington holds his breath. Jim pulls the trigger. Covington's eyes widen as the hammer on Jim's rifle strikes the primer and fails to fire.
Quite a commotion we had last night. I'm Tom Covington, Frank Leslie's Illustrated Weekly.
Jim Ram.
Yeah, I saw your brother charging the enemy yesterday. He was a courageous man. And a fine soldier, I'm told. I've never been through such a bombardment before. By the end of it, my voice was so hoarse, I couldn't even speak. I'd been screaming at the top of my lungs and never even heard my own voice. And all that time, this colt was being born. First feeling he knew on this earth was terror.
The two men swap looks as they watch the colt suckle its mother. Jim turns away. Jim struggles with the colt alone in a grassy field. He crouches beside the young horse as it struggles.
You know, you'd be better off if I'd have shot you. Yeah, you'll probably be dead before night's in, and the wolves are going to eat you alive. But at least I don't have to watch it happen.
He takes the rope reins from the colt's head.
Come on. All right, go on now. Go on, get. Ha! Come on. Go on now, get. Get!
Jim unholsters his revolver.
Hey! Go on now, get.
He fires in the air. The colt bolts, galloping over the brow of a hill. Jim hangs his head and reholsters his gun. Back at the camp, he sits by a fire with Stanton, a dark-haired young man.
You got your housewife on you?
Jim tosses Stanton a sewing tin.
You know, some of us felt like he was our kin, too.
Stanton doesn't look up as he sews.
After having been through the whole damn war with him.
Stanton pulls a stitch tight, then meets Jim's look.
Well, maybe that's worth knowing to you.
It is.
This war's gonna be over someday. Everybody but me is afraid to come right out and say it. But it's God's will, everything come to an end eventually.
They share a forlorn nod. Jim puts on his cap, picks up his saddle pack, and wanders back to his horse. Stanton looks up as the colt dashes back into the camp and over to its mother.
What the hell?
Rap! We're moving out. Why haven't you shot the creature? Is there something wrong with your weapon? Is there something wrong with it?
No.
Then get it done!
It's newly born, Sergeant.
Yes. And the longer it stays around, the more life's bound to disappoint it.
Longacre glares at Jim, who glances at the colt suckling its mother.
Do it a favor now and send it back where it came from.
Jim fights back tears as he shakes his head.
You want me to do it then?
With a determined grimace, Longacre whips his revolver out of its holster and takes aim at the colt. The foal looks back at him with brown eyes.
With it. We're moving out in half an hour.
Hutton collars Longacre as he storms off.
Sergeant.
Hutton glares at Longacre.
I thought you understood I wanted that Colt destroyed.
I did, sir.
Well,
I thought you might like the opportunity to reconsider the order, sir.
Why would I want to do that?
Because that Colt is helpless. And shooting it wouldn't be the gallant thing to do, sir.
Hutton clenches his jaw and looks down as he nods. He raises his gaze to meet Longacre once more.
Have the man stand the horse.
The cavalry troop are now mounted and ride in a casual formation along a stony track. The colt canters unharnessed alongside its mother amid the other horses. The colt wanders across the line as the war horses trot with their riders. Its tail swishing happily, the foal takes in the sunny woodland surroundings. As dusk turns the scattered clouds red, the Yankees set up camp on a ridge overlooking a pine forest.
Anybody see my gum blanket?
Jim reaches into a nose bag and offers his mare food while Covington sketches at the ridge edge. Jim smiles as he stands and looks over at Covington engrossed in his work. Jim takes off his blue peaked Yankee cap and holds it with both hands as he strolls over to stand beside the illustrator.
Mr. Covington? Evening, Private Rab. Think we're likely to encounter any rebels?
Oh, I don't know, sir. I mean, I suspect we might, you know, tomorrow, the next day. Sir?
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering if you could draw that colt for me.
I could do that.
I'm already obliged to you for the kind words you said about my brother the other day.
Well, it'd be a poor world if kind words came with an obligation attached. I'd be happy to sketch your colt. So.
Thank you, Mr. Covington.
Covington nods as Jim wanders away.
You care to watch?
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Jim sits beside Covington as the latter holds his pencil up towards Jim's horses.
I'm city bred myself, New York. I don't know a lot about horses, but well, he sure seems like a fine one. Am I wrong?
Oh, no, sir. You see how his legs are straight? The way his shoulder kind of slopes there? Yeah, he could surely cover ground if he took his mind to doing so. And his mother there, Jen, she's from a mare whose own mother was a Mustang from the Wild Horse Desert way down in Texas. And my father got her there when he was in the Dragoons during the war with Mexico. That's kind of why I'd like to have this picture of the colt. You know, show him the old Mustang blood still running.
So you've known the mare for a while?
Oh, yeah, Jen and I, we enlisted together. Yeah. My brother had a stallion from the same mare, but he broke a leg while we were chasing some of Mosby's gorillas over by the Potomac.
Tell me about your brother.
Well, you know, Tyler was born to be a soldier. Just afraid of nothing. And I think a part of him liked it, maybe. You know, the war.
Well, for some men, war presents an opportunity.
Is that why you're here?
Well, I'd like to make a name for myself like everyone else. I want to be remembered.
Well, you think you have to make a name for yourself to be worth remembering?
Covington stops sketching and eyes Jim Riley.
Yeah, I suppose I do.
Well, that's a mighty rare skill you have there, Mr. Covington. I'll tell you that much.
It's not so rare. I'm just an illustrator. A real artist. The kind of artist that I'd like to be. Well, you could capture something about that colt.
Capture what?
I don't know exactly. Whatever it is that you feel inside when you see him. If I could draw like that, well, I'd be keeping this for myself.
Well, I guess it's my good fortune that you ain't that good.
Captain Thorndale's men carry the wounded soldier on a stretcher through the woods.
Quiet, man. Horses.
The band of Yankees ride their horses two abreast along a narrow path through the dense woodland. Jim's riding in the middle of the troop, leading the colt on a rope at its mother's side. A Confederate soldier fires from the trees behind the path, hitting the soldier behind Longacre. The Yankees dismount and take up positions in trees across the path. Jim hands the reins to a Yankee turning back with the horses.
Get the colt out of here!
Jim takes position with Hutton and Longacre. Jim's now at camp with his horses.
Dear mother and father, in your grief, do not worry over much about my welfare. We are on patrol north of Richmond, tracking the movements of the enemy. From time to time, we have a sharp encounter with Johnny Reb. But I am now long accustomed to the violence and hardships of every sort.
A letter.
Father, it will perhaps cheer you to know that Jen is foaled, and our regiment now has a new recruit. This colt is a consolation to me, and a reminder that God, who allows so much grief and destruction to visit this world, is still the creator of new life.
Woodruff snoozes against a tree near the wounded Confederate soldier as they camp in the woods. Woodruff wakes and sits upright, throwing his blanket aside. He creeps over to crouch beside the wounded, ashen-faced young man, gingerly touching the lad's face.
How you doing, son? I'm gonna get you home. You understand me? Yes, boy. You're gonna see your mama. I promise.
Woodruff's brows knit together.
And let me just take a look here.
Woodruff lifts the blanket covering the lad's leg. One of the Confederate soldiers aims at a figure through the trees.
Put that musket down! Put it down now or I'll blow your head off your neck!
I ain't no Billy Yank. I'm just lost is all.
A scrawny young man in a bedraggled grey Confederate uniform wanders closer with his rifle in his hand above his head.
Well, if you're lost, you'll fit right in.
Thorndale pokes the insignia'd buttons of the stranger's tunic with the barrel of his pistol.
George, I see.
Yes, sir.
Well, we're North Carolinians. Where's your regiment?
Dead. As far as I can calculate, sir. Most of them, anyway.
How come you ain't dead with them?
Well, I was unable to take part in the fight.
How come?
He glances down at his leg.
Dog bite, Sergeant. Came running out of this farmhouse and tore into my leg. I was laid up there when the fight started. Then the Yanks overrun the place. I had to run into these here woods. God damn if I ain't lost my way entirely. Well, hated to miss the fight, Sergeant.
Woodruff walks off. Thorndale.
What's your name, son?
Hatch, sir.
Well, Private Hatch, you can come along with us. Maybe we'll find a fight for you soon enough.
Thorndale regards mustachioed Hatch as he skulks past into the camp. Hutton leads his men past another mounted Yankee troop escorting Confederate prisoners in chains.
Sir. Come on, you Rebs, keep moving.
One of the shuffling Confederates in the chain gang raises his head as Jim trots past with the Colt.
Hey, Yank. There's a Mustang in that mayor, ain't there?
Yeah, some, maybe.
I knew it. You can tell by the Colt's stride. You keep him out of harm's way, he'll grow up to be an easy keeper.
Jim rides on. Thorndale's band of men trudge on through the forest.
How much farther do you think it is? Can't be much longer, I hope.
Hatch walks beside a stretcher bearer.
What happened to him?
But during that battle you missed. The forest was so thick the artillery shells caught the underbrush on fire.
Burned pretty bad, is he?
Pretty bad.
Don't look like he's gonna be alive much longer. My company, they just leave him behind.
You wanna stay alive yourself, boy. Don't speak that way in my hearing.
Captain, I found it. The road.
Send him down.
Woodruff joins Thorndale at the front of the Confederate platoon as they come across a forked dirt track through the forest.
Which road do you think it is, sir?
Damned if I know. My guess is we should hit.
Thorndale raises his hand to his men as Hutton's troop round the bend. The forces draw weapons on each other and stand in a face-off.
Advance, carbines! Ground your arms! You're my prisoners!
Like hell we will.
Ground your arms, sir! Ground your arms, I say! God damn it, men! I'll give you until the count of three to surrender!
I will shoot you out of your saddle before you ever count that high. You are my prisoners! And unless you lay down your arms...
The Yankees open fire, gunning down several Confederates. Thorndale's men shoot several Yankees from their mounts. The horses rear up and buck their riders as Confederates snipe from the surrounding trees. The colt rushes off. Jim steadies Jen.
Stop it, Jen. You're going to get me killed.
The colt rushes through the Confederate lines.
Jen!
Jen bolts after her foal with Jim on her back. Thorndale's men withdraw into the trees as Hutton leads a charge after them.
Hatch! Grab the other end! Switch up!
Woodruff knocks a galloping Yankee from his mount.
Hatch! We gotta get him out of there! Hatch! Hatch!
Hatch scurries away into the trees as Woodruff hauls the wounded soldier off the stretcher. Woodruff lifts the wounded soldier up into his arms and staggers off. Jim slaps Jen's neck.
You almost got me killed.
What's the matter, Rab?
Well, she bolted off towards the enemy trying to get to that colt.
Ah, God damn it. I knew it was a mistake not to just shoot him and get it over with. Yeah, well, it's not too late.
Hutton storms up as Jim draws his gun on the colt.
What are you doing? I'm gonna shoot that colt, sir. This colt showed conspicuous gallantry today. He ran toward the guns when the rest of us were in confusion.
He didn't know where he was running, sir, and that mare took off after him like she didn't know any better either.
Well, there's such a thing as maternal gallantry as well.
Hutton pulls the red bandana from around his neck and ties it around the colt's neck. The colt nuzzles Hutton's tunic affectionately as the commander ties the neckerchief on with grubby hands.
I'd prefer you didn't shoot the colt, trooper.
Jim hangs his head and shakes it.
Sergeant Longacre.
Hutton and Longacre walk aside.
I'll be fair. Reynolds, Albright, Percy, and the Fines are dead, and McPhee won't last through the night. Graham and Magnuson are doing all right, but they're going to need to be sewed up some.
Right.
There's a lake not far away. We'll bivouac there tonight. Do what you can for the wounded. We'll get them back to our lines tomorrow. Set out a strong vedette. But as one Reb outfit, there's likely to be others.
Jim watches soldiers play with the Colt as Covington sketches.
You know, it's foolishness is what it is. With a few months growing, he'll just be another horse, and nobody will care about it then.
Care about him now, maybe that's enough.
Covington shows Jim the sketch.
It's going to be in the paper next week for certain.
The pencil drawing shows a Yankee soldier crouched by the Colt while another stands stroking it. Longacre takes the drawing.
I got it for being a traveling circus. Rab, you got the dead duty. Cleary, you too. Boots and saddles.
She won't stand for leaving that Colt behind.
Well then, pony the Colt along.
Jim reticently grabs his canteen and rifle, leaving Covington to finish sketching. Thorndale sits by solemnly as Woodruff holds a canteen to the wounded soldier's lips. The lad shakes his head as he gulps, then lies still. Woodruff puts his ear to the lad's chest, then winces with anguish. Thorndale lays a consoling hand on Woodruff's shoulder. Woodruff gazes down at the lad's glazed eyes.
God wanted his suffering to be over. He should be thankful it is.
I'm trying to, sir. I'm trying to be thankful.
Blinking with eyes full of tears, Woodruff hangs his head, then draws the blanket up over the young man's face. Woodruff stands abruptly and storms over to where Hatch lies snoozing, knocking aside the cap covering the sleeping man's face.
Stand up, you cowardly son of a bitch!
The hell you don't!
Oh, come on, Hatch! Come on! Oh, you ready to show some fight now, are you?
I ain't got no argument with you.
Oh, the hell you don't, boy! Oh.
Woodruff brandishes a knife.
You think I didn't see you running away today? Leaving this man dying on the field?
Sergeant Woodruff, maybe you better put that down now.
You got no pride, do you? I knew it the first time I saw you.
I was scared.
You think nobody else was scared? You think he wasn't scared when the Yanks were shelling us in the force while you were sitting in that farmhouse with your dog bite?
Woodruff steps back and glowers at Hatch.
Good men dying everywhere. You're alive, you spineless son of a bitch.
Woodruff rounds on his gathered men, sheathing his knife as he addresses them.
I won't have a man in my company who won't fight.
He tosses Hatch a rifle.
You make damn sure you kill a Yankee with this, or by God, you'll answer to me.
Hatch straightens his tunic as Woodruff storms off. Hatch eyes the other men, glaring at him.
Ain't right for him to hold a knife in my face. It ain't right. The hell's the matter with him anyway? He acts like he ain't never seen anybody die before.
Thorndale looms up on the private.
Oh, he has, Private. He's seen plenty of that. His son dying, though, that's new to him.
Thorndale fixes Hatch with a hard stare, then turns away, putting his wide-brimmed hat on. Crouched beside a mound of earth beneath a tree, Woodruff carves crude letters into a roughly hewn strut of wood. They read, Wesley Woodruff, May, 1864. He sheathes his knife, then ties the strut across another stake to form a cross, as Thorndale wanders over to join him. Thorndale removes his hat and crouches by Woodruff.
It'll grieve his mother to think of him buried out here in the wilderness.
I'll help you find this place again. I'll help you bring him home.
Woodruff nods as he finishes binding the crucifix.
Now let's get these men on their way.
Thorndale stands and replaces his hat as he walks away, leaving Woodruff to push the cross into the ground. Woodruff holds his cap in his hands as he stands at the graveside and gazes up at the tree. Stanton rides his horse through the trees towards Jim.
Jim! What? You hear anything?
No, and I'm not likely to either if you keep talking. Now get back to your post.
Stanton dismounts and wanders over.
You got anything to eat that ain't full of skippers?
Keep your voice down.
Are there any rebs around here? If there were, I would have heard.
Jim rides Jen closer.
Lie down, stretch your legs a bit.
Jim dismounts. Stanton watches the foals suckle Jen as the two soldiers stand at ease.
He's got something to fill his belly with.
Jim hands Stanton a hunk of bread he's eating.
Must be a really nice feeling to have your mother around. Mom died when I was 4.
I'm sorry to learn of it.
Didn't know her much. Don't remember her much at all, except her voice. She had a sweet singing voice. That's all I remember at the time. Mm-hmm. I got a riddle for you. Do you know that Johnny Reb loves rodents?
What?
Did you know that Johnny Reb loves his rodents?
No, that had escaped my knowledge.
That's true. Why else would he be fighting to protect his rats? You see the play on words?
Yeah, I see it.
Where's the rats?
Stanton collapses. A branch near Jim shreds. Jen and the colt flee. Stanton gasps as he lies on the ground, clutching Jim's arm, then slumps back. Cleary rides up.
Get up. Oh, no. Are they pickets?
I don't know. They must have been a couple of stragglers.
Hey, where are you going?
To get Jen and the colt before they do.
Don't go out there.
Jim looks along the barrel of the rifle from Stanton's saddle, cocks the gun, then makes off through the trees in the direction the horses went. He sees a Confederate mount Jen's saddle on a nearby ridge, takes aim, and fires. The soldier tumbles off. A second Confederate leaps into the saddle as Jim reloads. Jim misses as he fires after the fleeing Confederate with his pistol. He runs back to Cleary.
What happened? One of them got the mare and the colt. I'm going after him.
Are you a fool? You can't go chasing after them. You'll end up behind Reb lines.
He won't run fast with that colt.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing but horses, Jim. Horses.
Cleary, knelt beside Stanton's body, watches alarmed as Jim leaps onto Stanton's horse and gallops off through the trees. He sees the Confederate ahead on the track. The soldier ahead turns in his saddle and shoots back. The two riders exchange pistol shots as Jim closes in on the Confederates, Jen and the colt. The Confederate rider tumbles from Jen's saddle into a heap at the side of the road. Jim steadies the mare as he slows and rides alongside.
You all right? Didn't shoot either of you, did I? Easy, Jeff.
The Confederate soldier lies prone as Jim switches into Jen's saddle.
Come on. Come on.
Hey, Yank! You ain't just gonna leave me here, are you?
I ain't got any other plans.
Yank, don't leave me here to die all alone. Ain't you even human?
Jim stops the horses as he rides past the fallen enemy soldier. Reticently, he turns the horses back round towards the wounded man.
Well, what is it you want me to do?
I don't know. Nobody's ever gonna find me out here. I want to die alone, is all. What's your name?
Jim Rapp.
Pleased to meet you. I'm Isaac Silsby.
The bearded young man extends his hand. Jim grabs his rifle as he dismounts. Jim grasps the man's hand.
You mind taking a look?
Jim glances around, then lifts Isaac.
All right. That looks like it took you in the spine.
Reckon that's why I can't seem to move my legs.
Yeah, it's likely.
Is it mortal, Jim? Would that be a guess?
Well, seeing how that was my friend you just killed back there, I don't really give a damn if it's mortal or not.
I'm sorry about your pod. We need a horses. Gavin, man, without a horse, what the hell good is he? Just talk to me for a minute.
All right. Where's your lines?
I don't know what anybody's lines are. We was lost ourselves when we came across you over there. What's the matter?
Well, I wasn't paying much attention while I was chasing you. So I don't know what road I'm on. I don't know where I am.
I'm sorry you've been inconvenienced on my account.
Isaac raises his head and sees the colt.
Is that colt wearing a cravat? Well, that beats everything, don't it? Colt in a cravat. You can write to my sister. I solely appreciate it. Our fans are gone. I'm all she has left in the world. Now I'm gone too.
Jim takes out his pencil and pocketbook.
What's her name?
Miss Marge Silsby of Charleston, South Carolina. You don't have to say you was the one who killed me. It'd be a candide if you'd bury me.
Look, I gotta get back to my own lines.
It wouldn't take long to haul me off somewhere and bury me. Somewhere where it ain't so lonesome. And the wild hogs can't get to me. Please, Jim.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Cleary leads his steed back into the Yankee camp with Stanton's body draped over the saddle. Hutton and Longacre come to meet him.
Who is it?
Stanton, sir.
Your troopers. They just purloined down from the horse. Where's Rapp?
Don't know. Took after the rebs that killed Stanton.
He did what?
Couldn't hold him back, Sergeant. They had the colt with him and he wanted it back.
God damn it. God damn it.
We can't wait for Private Rapp to find his way back to us. We got wounded men to deal with.
I know, sir.
We'll head out tomorrow at daybreak as planned.
Covington watches Cleary lead Stanton's body past on his horse. Night, Jim rides over a dark plain with the colt and Stanton's horse in tow. A shaggy, light-coated, retriever-like dog, wagging its tail, stops the horses in their tracks.
What the hell do you want?
The colt gambles after the dog as it runs around the horses excitedly. Jim leads the horses off after the dog as it bounds away. Leads them to a farm.
It's a man, it's
a man. Oh, good.
And he's found him a soldier.
Go inside with your mother and sister, Henry.
Well, good morning to you, sir.
Morning to you, trooper.
Mom!
Am I still in Virginia?
You are.
See?
I haven't had a good luck to come upon a Union man, have I?
Might have. Don't tell that to my neighbors.
So how you got with you?
That's a rev. Just trying to find a quiet spot to bury him.
I didn't know Union men were in the business of burying rebels.
Well, neither did I. But I made a promise to him.
What does he want, Leander?
He wants to bury this dead rebel on our property. I believe it might be some kind of a trick.
No, it ain't. All right? But I can't prove it.
Jim turns in earnest from the burly farmer to the blonde woman on the porch of the clapboard house.
I'll find someplace else to bury him. Do you know where this road goes?
Joins up with the plank road about 6 miles. I can't say whether there'll be Union and Red patrols on that road. Fighting around here has been pretty changeable.
All right.
Leander Calloway, the farmer, shoots a look at Lucy, his wife. They nod to each other.
No intention of building a box for him. She'll have to do.
Well, I think a sheet'll be satisfactory for him.
Jim turns the horses back round. Jim and Leander dig in the shade of a large pine.
You all right?
Leander holds a handkerchief to his mouth.
Your lungs are bad. Otherwise, I'd be helping you capture Richmond. Still work the farm in it, though. Lucy! Come on and bring the children up.
Lucy, an attractive woman in her 40s, leads her young son and daughter up the slope to the graveside.
Suppose you ought to say a few words. He's the one who knew.
I didn't know him. I don't know what to say about him.
All right, then.
Leander takes off his hat.
Dear Lord, we ask that you accept into the care of your angels the soul of this young man. He was our enemy here on earth. But the judgment of his immortal soul is your business, not ours. We ask for your blessing on our divided nation. We ask that you make it whole again, and to hasten the passing of this season of terror and confusion. We ask for your protection over our children, and over this young Union trooper here, and over every other living thing that this horrible war has not yet taken from us. Amen.
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 The children go on and play now.
Back at the Yankee camp, officers and men check their horses over, getting ready to ride out. Longacre, an old scar down the bridge of the nose on his ruggedly handsome face, tightens the straps on his horse's saddle. Cleary approaches warily with an older trooper.
Sergeant Longacre?
What is it, Cleary?
We'd like to go after Rab.
Go after Rab? Daft?
There's a good chance we can pick up his tracks in the daylight.
Rab is either dead, or captured, or running off with that damn colt. Now get on your horses. We've got a lot of hard miles to ride today.
Cleary and the other soldier swap looks. Cleary drops his gaze.
Some of the men want that colt back.
They want the colt back.
They believe there's some kind of luck attached to him.
If I let you men ride after that colt into Red Lines, you'd find out about luck soon enough.
Cleary glances at his friend, then nods to Longacre. Longacre watches the two men walk off, then shakes his head. Jim sits at a table with the Calloway family.
They say you could hear the artillery 100 miles away.
We heard it.
Well, we thought we heard it, Sprout. But what we probably heard was just some thunder.
They call him Sprout.
Well, what do they call you?
Nobody calls me anything.
Well, you mean you don't have any name at all?
No, sir.
Sarah, stop teasing Mr. Rab. We have a perfectly lovely name that your grandmother had before you. And may we please stop talking about that battle in Gettysburg? I'm sure that since Mr. Rab took part in it, There's very little we can add that would be of much interest to him.
What's the colt's name?
Well, he doesn't have one.
Why not?
Well, I don't know. I guess I just never gave him one. Well, you want to name him?
Can we?
Well, not right now. You two convene after supper and see if you can come up with a name that's satisfactory to Mr. Rapp.
Mr. Rapp.
Yes, ma'am.
What is your name, your Christian name?
It's James, ma'am. Jim.
May I call you by?
If you care to, yeah.
Well, then, Jim, I would just like to tell you that though we greeted you with suspicion at first, just as we must greet every stranger these days, you're a welcome guest in our home. I can tell that you come from a fine home yourself.
Where do you come from, Jim?
Well, Mr. Keller, I come from Michigan.
Michigan?
Yeah. Long ways away from here.
Yeah. Got good soil there?
It's not too bad. You know, it's good for farming. It's cold in the winter, of course, but in the summertime, I can't expect I'd rather live anywhere else.
Good springs in that area.
Yeah, they got, they got good springs, and
Lucy watches Jim's face buckle with emotion.
And
children, go outside, please.
Lucy lays a consoling hand on Jim's arm as the children walk out of the room.
I'll go tend to your animals.
Leander glances at his wife, then with a nod gets up and leaves too. Lucy gazes at Jim tenderly.
We got a nice pie for dessert. Would you care to have some chicory with it?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, all right, then. I'll get it for you.
The Yankees have camped by a lake for the night. Longacre sits by a tent, solemnly turning the pages of Covington's sketchbook by firelight, while the illustrator sleeps in the open by the lake shore. Covington wakes and sits up, eyeing Longacre.
That sketchbook's private property, Sergeant.
I didn't see a sign on it saying so.
Longacre eyes the drawings of men lying crumpled in the various positions in which they died.
A lot of dead men in these pictures.
It's a war.
I guess you could say their death is their private property, too.
Covington stands and walks over to stand beside the sergeant.
How much you get paid for these?
That depends on how my editors judge their quality.
So some of my dead soldiers are worth more than others.
Look, I make no apologies for how I document this war, Sergeant. Just as you make no apologies for how you fight it.
Oh, I make plenty of apologies, Mr. Covington. These men were in my keeping. I expect I'll spend the rest of my life making apologies to them.
Covington averts his gaze as Longacre glares at him bitterly. Lying on his back in a bed at the Calloways, Jim dreams hazily of the colt. From Jen's saddle, Jim watches the colt gamble in a field. He sees a gun cock. The Colt stops as Jim turns Jen towards it. A finger pulls the trigger on the rifle in Jim's dream. He sits bolt upright in bed, a sheen of sweat on his face in the moonlight. He gets out of bed and goes to the window. The colt stands there in a corral by Jen, then trots calmly around the bare earth paddock in the moonlight. Jim lets the curtain fall back. Morning, the Calloways watch Jim saddle the horses.
Morning, Jim. Morning.
Well, they had a good feed. I'm afraid this cow's starting to come up lame now.
Jim encourages Stanton's horse to lift its back right hoof.
Yeah, I expect you're right.
Should heal in a week or so.
Well, maybe you ought to keep him there. No free troubles.
There's no trouble, Jim.
All right.
Jim smiles. Leander watches him inspect the horses.
You can just stay around here till that gelding's fit to ride.
Or longer, if you'd like.
Jim looks at Leander and Lucy.
Anybody can see you're in need of a rest, son.
Well, thank you. But I just wouldn't feel right about it. You know, not with all them other boys out there needing rest, too.
Lucy nods and drops her head. Jim looks at the colt. To the kids.
Did you give him a name yet?
Silky. Shadow. No, it's Silky.
Well, that's two names.
She's too stubborn. She won't ever agree with me on anything.
No, you're stubborn.
All right, I'll tell you what. You can call him Shadow, okay? And you can call him Silky. All right.
Jim smiles and leads the colt to its mother on the rope rein.
Just follow that road out. I heard the Union cavalry's camped out.
All right. Thank you. I won't forget your family. And your kindness.
Kindness is something we'd all do well to remember these days.
Jim takes the wrapped bundle Lucy hands him. She steps forward and kisses his cheek.
Good luck to you, Jim. God protect you.
With a smile, Jim turns and slips the bundle into his saddlebag as the Calloways look on. Thorndale's Confederate rebel platoon reached the shore of a rocky river.
We could keep going, sir.
I know that, Sergeant. Our orders were to stop the enemy any way we could. This is the only ford across the river we've seen for 10 miles.
The men are worn through. They're half starved. We don't even know the Yanks will be coming this way, sir.
Oh, they'll be coming. They'll be coming south any way they can. All the way to Richmond. Just like us.
Woodruff nods at Thorndale, then turns.
Men! We're gonna cross here and make camp.
I thought we were looking for our lines.
We found them, Hatch. This river down here is our lines. Bess, you stay here. We're gonna post a lookout. You let us know if you see anything coming.
This ain't my company, Sergeant.
McPherson!
Yes, Sergeant.
Shoot Private Hatch.
Yes, Sergeant. Stop. I'm coming.
Move on out, boys. Let's go.
The rebel Confederates wade gingerly into the fast-flowing rapids.
Yes?
Never mind.
It's not her.
If you're going to pretend to be a psychic detective, you need three things.
Let's review, shall we?
An ability to have visions on demand.
The distortion is near.
Some good psychic moves. And a respect for those who don't share your unique approach.
Ah, what happens when you interfere with a police investigation?
The case gets solved?
Psych. Today at midday, on Hallmark. You can question his methods.
Clean up on aisle three.
You can question his motives.
You have the ethics of a four-year-old. I'm going to treat me like one.
You can even question his sanity.
Is it still illegal to perform an autopsy on a living person?
Are you high?
But when life hangs in the balance, there's no questioning his brilliance.
You want to make things right? Too bad. Nothing's ever right.
Golden Globe winner Hugh Laurie. House. Today at 2 on Hallmark.
Don't traipse around looking for great deals. Find all you need in the Argos home sale. Save up to £140 on Dyson upright cleaners. Like this DC 15 ball now under £200. Plus save 20% off cookers over £200. Like this Flavel range cooker now under £480. Order all your great deals online today. Don't shop for it, Argos it.
At Asda, we're launching the Big Rollback. Over 4,000 prices are being rolled back this month. One of the reasons that on Monday, independent price checker mysupermarket.co.uk found that on average, Asda were cheaper on this many products. Whereas Tesco, well, see for yourself. The Big Rollback. Asda. Why pay more?
The Action Guy.
Again.
Tropic Thunder.
Sort out your finances this Saturday with a personal financial review.
Undercover work, Steve. Top notch. Top notch.
SatWest, another day.
At Asda, we like our prices to be small. Like any three for £10 on up to 50 leading wines. Asda, why pay more?
This Friday, someone will be celebrating. Because a massive £100 million must be won.
Because it can't roll over.
There's a breakfast for any morning at McDonald's.
Don't miss the new Sunday night lineup with Life is Wild at 7.
Have you ever seen anything so magnificent?
You want to tell me where you were Sunday night?
Brand new Law and Order at 8.
Now that we've synchronized our calendars, where were you?
Most men can't handle an ambitious woman.
And with Glenn Close starring in the brand new Damages at 9.
All you need to do is show up.
We'll be right there.
I'll be ready. No excuses.
Now this is what I call fun.
Sunday nights, a premiere night on Hallmark.
Are you missing your favorite shows? Now with Hallmark Plus One, you will never miss a show again. Hallmark Plus One, available on Sky 205 and Virgin 191.
Jim rides across a plain. Jim dismounts, kneels, and aims.
Who's out there? Well, tell me who you are first!
Approach and give the countersign!
You're supposed to ask me that before you shoot at me!
Give the goddamn countersign!
Little Round Top!
All right.
Get off me. How do you even know y'all are union?
Tell you what, if we put a ball in you, you'll know we're not.
You know, a man could get killed by his own men out here.
Sorry about that. Tend to be on the careful side.
We propose to live to the end of the war.
Covington sketches Hutton in his tent by firelight.
Let me get you a lantern, Covington. You're going to injure your eyes.
No, thank you, sir. I'm rather fond of the effect.
Covington turns the drawing towards Hutton.
Very fine. Touch gloomy, though, if you don't mind me saying so.
A little gloom will suit you, I think, Lieutenant.
Rumor is we killed Jeb Stuart.
What? Where?
Someplace not far from here called Yellow Tavern. A fellow on the 5th got him with his pistol. Stuart was the best cavalry officer the Rebs had. Now they lost him along with Stonewall Jackson. If you ask me, this war's about over. Before summer's out, we'll be hoisting the Union flag in Richmond.
Oh, I'd like to think so.
This is the dangerous time. Men start to smell victory, they get cautious. They resent having to die. They start to love war too little.
The troopers gather round as Jim leads Jen and the colt into the camp.
Shall we investigate?
We thought you were dead, Jim.
What are you doing, buddy?
But the colt was gone.
Yeah, well, I ain't and he ain't.
Hutton and Covington approach Jim and the horses.
Lieutenant? Well, Rev, you returned our mascot to us. You had us all concerned. Little fellow seems all right, though. I heard you were last seen riding to his rescue. Yes, sir.
Hey, Potter.
Well done, then. You all right?
I'm fine, sir.
Get some rest, then, Trooper.
Jim nods with a smile. Hutton turns away.
Come on, Covington. Let's go finish your master work.
Hutton nods at Jim and leaves. Covington.
You're welcome back, Jim.
So what the hell happened out there, Jim?
You killed a rabbit, stole a colt. Yeah, I did.
Well, what are you doing, Sergeant?
You better go about your business.
Go on!
The other troopers trudge off. Longacre rounds on Jim.
I suggest you give me a reason why I don't report you for desertion.
Because I didn't desert.
You left your post on the deck.
I was in pursuit of the enemy.
God damn you, Rev! You were in pursuit of that colt! The colt is dangerous.
Dangerous?
Look at him. I think about things I have no business thinking about. My wife. My children. What it would be like to be walking down the road and see them running out of the house. Running towards me as I come home. How the hell can a soldier think about things like that and expect to keep himself alive at the same time?
Well, maybe if you stop thinking about things like that. You already did anyway.
Longacre's brows knit together as he looks round at the colt lying on the ground under its mother. Longacre glances back at Jim.
Oh, hell. Better give your mare an extra ration of grain. I don't want him out to give out.
Yes, Sergeant.
A smile plays across Jim's lips as Longacre walks away. Morning. Switters finds Cleary leering at a printed black and white pamphlet by the smouldering campfire. Cleary holds the magazine away from Switters' snatches.
Keep it here. I believe I have possession at the moment, Switters.
Switters looks over Cleary's shoulder at the lithographs of ladies in their undergarments. Nearby, Hutton salutes a post rider and opens a letter. Cleary eyes the pamphlet centerfold.
Oh, my. Fishing in her britches. Hey, come look at this, Jim. I'd like to hook me one of those.
I'd like to go fishing there, too.
What do you got?
Jim eyes the mucky pictures. Hutton folds the letter solemnly and pockets it as he strolls over to join them.
Something's up. Morning, gentlemen. We've been asked to reconnoiter to the south, look for a likely river crossing for the brigade. Sergeant Longacre, men finished their breakfast?
Yes, sir.
Jim smirks as Hutton's eyes drop to the pamphlet in Cleary's hands.
May I, Private?
Hutton takes the magazine and eyes the pictures up the lady's skirts.
Fishing in her britches. Lovely river.
Hutton tucks the pamphlet inside his tunic.
Sergeant.
Come on, man! Boots and saddles!
A rebel scout scurries down to the river and into the water, scrambling over the rocks and holding his rifle above the torrent. In the woods behind him, Hutton's Yankee troop ride single file along a narrow path. Trotting alongside them is the colt, with the red bandana still tied around his neck. The Confederate scout swims across the river to the opposite shore and wades out to the rebel encampment.
Somebody's coming, sir.
Federals?
I don't know, sir. It's too far away to tell.
All right. Thanks, sir. Sergeant Woodruff, please position the men.
All right, let's move. Arnold, you take these men, you secure the right flank. Al, you get the middle. Jim, you take the left flank. Let's move. Oh, go with me, Hatch. Let's go!
Woodruff drags Hatch alongside him as the rebels scramble into the cover of the trees beyond the wide, rocky river's edge.
There! Keep my eye on you. You're gonna fight this time.
Woodruff sits beside Hatch, facing the river, their rifles raised at their shoulders, both aiming at the ford crossing.
What was his son like?
Woodruff glances at Hatch scathingly.
Not like you.
I ought not to be criticized because I have a fearful personality. Man can't choose who he is.
Well, he can damn well choose how he conducts himself. He can damn well find the sand to put his musket to his shoulder and pull the trigger. And that's all you have to do today, Hatch. Fire your goddamn musket at the enemy. You do that, you and I don't have another thing to argue about.
Hatch shoots a resentful look across at Woodruff. Along the bank, Thorndale's watching them, while other Confederate soldiers stare across the water. Hutton and Longacre sit on their horses on the Yankee shore.
Hold up. I don't see any sign of trouble to you, Sergeant.
Longacre scours the far bank through Hutton's binoculars.
There's a lot of woods on that side of the river. A lot of boulders and hidey holes. If there were rebs there, I don't think we'd see them.
On the far shore, Thorndale watches patiently.
Still, it's a good place to cross.
That's what worries me, sir. They're as likely to know that as we are.
It's a common spot on the river.
Yes, sir. But there's been a lot of rain, and the water's moving swifter than normal. A trooper's horse could skitter off his feet. Current would take him if he ain't careful.
Well, we'll be careful.
Hutton eyes Longacre. Across the river, Woodruff glances at the agitated Hatch beside him.
There's likely be a better spot upstream. This just doesn't smell right, sir.
I'm sure you have an excellent sense of smell, Sergeant Longacre. But I think this crossing is more than suitable. We'll go across, weapons at the ready. Set up a position on the opposite bank where we can secure the ford for the rest of the brigade.
Hutton puts his hat back on. Longacre nods grudgingly as he looks back across the river.
Sir.
Longacre holds his right hand up, then drops it down. At the signal, the Yankee troopers move their horses out of the cover of the trees and onto the rocky shore. Hutton leads them down to the river's edge. Woodruff eyes Hatch as Hatch's finger twitches on his trigger. Switters rides next to Jim in the Yankee line.
What do you think, Jim?
I think it's too good of a crossing for them not to want to fight over.
Jim keeps the colt on a rope at Jen's side.
Weapons at the ready! Keep your eyes short!
Thorndale holds his hand up as a signal to the rebels as he watches Hutton spur his horse on into the river.
Come on,
come on.
Come on,
let's go.
Ha! Ha!
The colt struggles in the deep, fast-flowing water as the Yankees move to the center of the river. Other horses start to panic as they swim, riders still on their backs. Thorndale drops his hand swiftly, and the rebels open fire. Hutton tumbles from his horse and floats downstream on his back, eyes closed. Longacre takes command as the Yankees return fire, taking more hits. A Yankee gun sinks to the riverbed. The colt struggles as the Yankees drive their horses to the rebel shore. The rebels start to take hits as Longacre and the first of the Yankees reach the rocks on their side. The colt struggles against the current. The Yankees crouch behind boulders on the river shore, shooting into the trees. Longacre leaps off his horse and joins the first of his men behind the boulders, firing with his pistol. Unarmed, Covington scrambles behind rocks for cover. He drops his sketchbook and reaches for it. A ricochet makes him draw his hand back. Hutton floats away serenely. Jim, behind a boulder in the Yankee line, turns to face the river. He sees the colt struggle, still in the water, its reins caught around a log floating downstream. Jen canters along the shore, whinnying to her foal. Jim fires, then runs for the river. Woodruff stokes his musket as he yells at Hatch, who trains his rifle on Jim. The colt looks up at its mother from the water. Hatch looks along the barrel of his rifle at Jim as Jim sprints along the river to the colt.
Hatch!
Seeing Hatch frozen, Woodruff hurriedly finishes loading, lifts his musket, and aims at Jim. Woodruff moves his head away from his musket sightline and watches wide-eyed as Jim leaps into the deep water and wades out towards the struggling colt to free it. Longacre and the other Yankee troopers turn to watch Jim as he struggles to keep the colt afloat, its hooves thrashing below the surface. Jen paces at the water's edge. Woodruff lays his musket down and makes for the river. Crouched in the trees, Thorndale and the other rebels stand and watch, awestruck, as Woodruff leaps into the river.
Come on, none of those can do it. Come on!
Covington and Longacre stand and gawp at the sight of the two enemy soldiers either side of the colt, working together to lift it. Jim and Woodruff brace their legs against the rocky riverbed as they haul the colt to shore. The colt scrambles clear of the water and over to its mother, leaving Woodruff and Jim standing face to face, locked in a wary stare of mutual respect.
Blythe.
Woodruff nods in acknowledgement and watches Jim turn away towards the colt. Woodruff walks up the shore towards the Yankee line, stopping as he nears Longacre. The two men hold a lingering stare as Longacre holsters his pistol. Woodruff looks Longacre in the eye and nods respectfully. Longacre nods at Woodruff in return and watches the rebel sergeant walk back to the Confederate lines. Longacre's eyes rove in disbelief. Thorndale watches somberly from his position. On the riverbank, his back to the trees, Jim smiles as he reaches out and lays his hand gently on the colt's neck. Jim arches backwards and flings his arms wide as he's hit between the shoulders, slumping to the rocks.
Run!
Longacre yells as Woodruff looks on aghast. In the trees, Hatch lowers his rifle. Jen stands over Jim as he lies on his back, eyes blinking, looking up at the sky. Woodruff turns in dismay towards his lines. Cleary stands and fires at the rebels, face gnarled in anger.
Damn you, kill
you told me to shoot us, goddammit! You told me I had to fight! Why'd you do that?
Seething, Woodruff knocks Hatch out with the butt of his musket. Woodruff slumps down dejected and looks over at Thorndale dead.
Thorndale's been hit! Ah! Withdraw!
Woodruff comes round as he realizes he's now in command and turns into the woods yelling to his men to retreat. Sword drawn in rage, Longacre leads his men in a charge into the trees after them. Back on the river shore, Longacre watches Covington sketch Jim's body lying beside the two horses.
Are they going in the newspaper there, Mr. Covington?
Oh, Sergeant Longacre. This one is just for me. It's just for me.
Longacre nods somberly as he stands over the illustrator sitting on a rock. Covington raises his eyes from the paper and sighs as two Yankee soldiers carry a body away on a stretcher under a blanket behind him. Jen and the colt still stand by Jim's body at the water's edge. The colt leans down and nuzzles Jim's chest. ITFC Audio Description by Toby Mace.